When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you on a Tuesday, on a Royals baseball playoff Tuesday. The Royals are in the playoffs. It's available for free right here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune into 97.5 FM, 1240 AM, KFH at 2:30 for pregame coverage. Royals at Orioles. You can simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time as well. We welcome in Mike Gillespie, Kings at Kauffman, our Royals insider. Mike, it's been a long time, but it's here. The Royals are back in the postseason. They get the big news today with Vinny Pasquantino this morning. It's made official what we all sort of suspected for the last little while. I guess let's start there. What do we expect out of Vinny Pasquantino, and how much of a jolt is that for this Royals team?
Well, I think, you know, psychologically, it's got to be a big jolt. You know, he's been traveling with him and whatnot. He just started hitting publicly, at least, out in the cage, and if he's ready to go, and you have to believe he is, you know, he's too much a part of the Royals' future for them to just say, okay, we need a bat, and we're going to take a risk with Vinny. I'm convinced he's ready to go. Now, does that translate into you know, some home runs and RBIs? We're going to find out, and I think we'll get a really good look at him today. But it's a big deal. It really is.
It's interesting, Mike, because I had this thought, you know, the other day before it was even, you know, confirmed or, you know, I think it was being speculated that Pasquantino might be able to return to the roster and to the lineup for this potential wildcard series. Obviously, now they're in it and he's been confirmed. But I had this thought at the time, even if they add him to the roster and they put him in the lineup and he just stands there and he's not 100%, I mean, even having the threat of him in the lineup should take some of that pressure off of Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. So I feel like there's even a potential impact that Vinny can have, even if he's not hitting those home runs and driving in those runs, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, Baltimore has Corbin Burnes going today, and you know, the guy's won 15 games this season. He's a proven winner, proven veteran, but I don't imagine when he learned this morning that Vinny was going to be back in the lineup, that he probably greeted that with a big smile. Not unless he wants to challenge him, but it is really a significant development for this team.
Let's talk about the pitching, Mike. Corbin Burnes has been lights out in September. He has been a good postseason pitcher in totality. He wasn't very good last year in his postseason start. It hadn't been for the Orioles yet. What do you expect there? I guess you have to expect the good version of Corbin Burnes. And do you think at that point that Cole Reagans can match him today?
Well, that's a great question. Baltimore couldn't have a better guy starting the first game of this series, which puts, I think, some additional pressure on Reagans. You know, Reagans is kind of deceptive. He's not all that overwhelming, but he just seems to get through the games fairly well. So I foresee a pretty, you know, a classic pitcher's duel today, but, you know, as soon as I say that, we'll probably see 20 runs.
It's funny, Mike, because I didn't realize this until just the other day, and Jacob and I discussed it on the show yesterday about how the Kansas City bullpen, which has been much maligned all season long, and we've had these conversations even with you about the bullpen and their struggles, in the last 2 weeks of the regular season, the Kansas City bullpen posted the second best ERA out of all bullpens in Major League Baseball. And, you know, clearly while it was a struggle offensively for the Royals in the final 2 weeks and actually the final month of the season, it really seemed like that bullpen was the stabilizing factor and something that, you know, they absolutely should, you know, be looking to lean on as they get into the Baltimore series. Do you anticipate or imagine that they can continue this run that they've had over the last couple of weeks?
Well, if there's one thing besides this kind of dormant offense right now that, that bothers me, it's definitely the bullpen. You know, they're pitching well at the right time. The timing couldn't be better. But they still, you know, you look over your shoulder and you still see almost an entire season of trouble and inconsistency. So we're going to find out. And I, you know, it's kind of an all hands on deck type situation now. But if the bullpen can do what they've done lately, that takes a tremendous amount of pressure off the starters, especially when the Royals are going with a three-man rotation. And I think if they make it to the ALDS, I think you're going to see a similar situation. I don't think they'll stay in a five-man rotation. So bullpen's got to come through.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. The back end of the bullpen, I mean, the bullpen was – what do you make of the bullpen? Because it was really good at down the home stretch there. I believe second-best bullpen ERA in Major League Baseball. What do you think's closer to the truth as far as the bullpen, that they're that good or that they're the bullpen we've seen throughout the rest of the regular season?
As much as I hate to say it, I think the bullpen is probably what we've seen most of the season. And, you know, the only change they've really made to the bullpen, besides putting Lorenzen and Singer out there for this series, is Hernandez didn't make the wild card roster, and neither did Alec Marsh. I'm not too concerned about that, but I'm going to be surprised if they can sustain what they've done for the last few weeks through the next couple of weeks.
Taking a look back at the lineup, obviously having Vinny Pasquantino there in the middle of the lineup is a major impact for Kansas City throughout the entire playoff stretch. But some of the other additions that, you know, the Royals have made, and we've talked about them at length over the last few weeks, whether we're talking about Tommy Pham or Yuli Gurriel, you know, those guys in theory provide reinforcements in the lineup. For Kansas City, you know, you add in Michael Massey, if he can get going like he did in the final game of the regular season against the Braves. Hunter Renfroe, if he can get going as well. There's still some pop in that lineup. And I guess specifically, if Vinny Pasquantino, assuming he is DHing, it's kind of become a question, I think, that's been heavily debated entering this wild card series. Do you think it's a better position for the Royals to be in, assuming that Pasquantino DHs, to have Salvi catch and Yuli Gurriel play first, or have Salvi play first and Freddie Fermin catch?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, I think it's better with Perez at first and Fermin behind the plate. Now, that said, Freddie's had some throwing issues the last week or so, which it really surprised a lot of people. I mean, that's usually one of his great strengths. But I, you know, maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I think you start Perez at first right now and Freddie behind the plate.
That's interesting. But where does it leave Vinny Pasquantino?
DHing.
DH.
But if... Yeah, I think I would say just let Salvi catch, Vinny play DH, and
Gurriel.
I don't know Gurriel.
Like,
yeah,
that's the big debate on what's going to be better.
Yeah,
because like I think we're all assuming, and we won't know until we get to that point, that Pasquantino's going to DH, you know, as opposed to playing first base, at least in this wild card series. I've gone back and forth on that. Like, is it better?
Because
Fermin has not hit very well recently.
I know, but doesn't Fermin's attitude and persona scream postseason baseball to you? Like, I know the hits haven't come, but like his attitude feels right. It's almost like a Tommy Pham.
I think
thing.
The argument for Gurriel a little bit is that Gurriel's been there before. Gurriel's right. been in yeah. many yeah. different postseasons before, and can, you know, maybe help them attitude wise, you know, with his experience in the postseason. That's why I go back and forth on it. And you know, Mike, I think following up on what you said, it's interesting because Fermin has been pretty rock solid behind the plate until recently, where, you know, you mentioned he's had those throwing issues. But if you're talking about, you know, potentially the speed that Baltimore has, maybe that upside of having Fermin behind the plate to try to limit them on the base paths could be another benefit to having him catch and Salvi play first.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, Salvi's always been great at gunning runners down on the base paths, but I think at least this season, Freddie's kind of passed him in that regard. But, you know, who's going to catch and who's going to play first right now is probably the biggest and most interesting debate fans can have leading into this afternoon and even after this afternoon. It's a fun debate.
Let's talk about the top of the lineup, because we know what the middle has looked like this year with Vinny there. It's been as productive, if not the most productive, over that course. Yeah, you were going to have three guys reach 100 RBIs, all those things. I want to talk about Tommy Pham, though, because they didn't have that when they had that middle of the lineup. They didn't have that experience. I think he could be a big factor here. He has had so many big moments in postseasons and all these things as a table setter. If Vinny's all the way back, that's a different wrinkle for this offense. Because that was the problem most of the season. Who's going to be the leadoff hitter? They just were not productive there, whereas now it feels like they can be.
Yeah, I agree. I think Pham, this is the kind of thing they got Pham for. You know, add a little fire, get to the playoffs, bat him leadoff. And if he comes through, that's just a big thing for the Royals. If he doesn't, you know, you might see, as we go along, Garcia back at the top. But I think Pham's the guy right now.
Yeah, I wonder, Mike, too, you know, and Pham has provided a little bit of consistency at the top of the lineup as far as knowing who your leadoff batter is going to be. I was a little bit surprised, and I understand kind of the one-for-one swap of Pasquantino in and Robbie Grossman out. If it were me, the only change I would have made is I might have kept Robbie Grossman in and not had either Adam Frazier or Garrett Hampson on the wild card roster, just because I know those guys, I guess, defensively can bring something to the table, but they're basically, in my mind, kind of the same player, and neither one of them give you much, you know, at least offensively.
Definitely. You know, as I was kind of thinking through all this last night and trying to think of, you know, what are they going to do with this roster? It became really apparent to me that of those three, Grossman, Hampson, and Frazier, somebody had to go. And, you know, you're right. Is there that much difference between those three? The difference is, as you mentioned, the defensive versatility. So I wasn't surprised to see Grossman go. But yeah, you're not, they're in there to move around the field. Yeah. They're not in there to get big hits.
I'm gonna give you one. Put on your predictive cap here, Mike. Will we see Lorenzen in this series?
In this one?
In this one.
Yeah. Only.
That wouldn't be good.
I foresee him in the first situation if they get in trouble early.
Right.
If Cole Reagans gets in trouble early today, you're going to see Michael Lorenzen. If Reagans gets him through the fifth, you know, then you're into the Daniel Lynch, Ursig, those guys. But I don't see Lorenzen, you know, coming in the eighth or ninth. He's going to be there if they get in trouble.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Early.
That's trouble. I guess the reason I ask that is, do you want to see him? Like, do you like that he's there? Would you rather see him? Would you rather have a quick hook? I suppose is the point of that question. Do you think Quatraro should have a quick hook knowing that he's got Lorenzen there? But if he has a quick hook today, can he have Lorenzen tomorrow? I guess he'd have Lynch, but you know what I mean? Like, how quickly should Quatraro be ready to yank a starter in any of these three potential games if there's trouble in the first handful of innings?
Well, when you look at this Baltimore lineup, I mean, you've got Santander with 44 homers, Henderson with almost 40, Couser with almost 25. He's got to be willing to make a quick hook. You know, if the Royals get behind 3-0, 4-0 in the first or second, this is a situation where he's got to go get the starter. He just can't say, okay, maybe they'll get straightened out. The offense isn't good enough right now to get behind by a lot of runs and then try to play catch up. So he's got to be willing to make a move early.
But if he does it today, I mean, are we good with Lynch? I suppose. I guess he can do it twice. I know Marsh didn't make it, but he's got really two options there. Without Marsh and Hernandez, those are two of your long guys. And they can, who cares? It's all on the table, right? It's postseason baseball. Mike, what do you guys have going at Kings of Kauffman to get us ready?
I'm sorry?
What do you guys have going at Kings of Kauffman right now to get us ready for the series?
about the postseason. That's
follow Mike on social media, all the work at Kings of Kauffman. We've waited a long time for this. They got here. Let's get it done. We're not that far away from playoff baseball back with the Royals. Mike, enjoy it. We'll hopefully be back here next week to talk about the next series of this thing.
Sounds good to me.
There goes Mike Gillespie. You can find it at Kings of Kauffman. This is one of the reasons I love baseball, Tommy, is because baseball is the longest, like, who cares about individual decisions kind of season until you get to this point, and then you haul out that microscope and we way hyperanalyze every decision made within a baseball game. At the end of the day, it's all about execution, right? Like poor managers this time of year just get killed. But the reality is, if a pitcher makes a pitch or doesn't make a pitch, like, you know, what are you going to do? Real quick breaking news before we break and get our Chiefs insider Dan Israel in next segment. You sent this to me. Pete Thamel reporting that Gonzaga is set to join the Pac-12 today, an announcement coming soon. It's pretty fascinating, actually, for me. I will say this for the Pac-12. They really missed the boat on salvaging football. They're doing a pretty good job of making themselves a really good basketball league.
I think that's, you know, absolutely the direction that they're going. And clearly they sold Gonzaga on this vision of being potentially a future powerhouse in college basketball. Remember, there had been multiple, I guess, reported conversations and discussions between the Big 12 and Gonzaga over the last probably, what, couple of years, between Brett Yormark and the folks at Gonzaga about adding them. And for Gonzaga to decide that they wanted to go to the Pac-12 tells me, what I read into that is that the Pac-12 is, pardon the pun, punting on football, being a football conference that you can hang your hat on and wanting to compete in that world on the West Coast nationally with the other large four conferences. They've clearly sold Gonzaga on this vision of being a hoops powerhouse, and that must be the priority for them.
And it will be, joining San Diego State there, Utah State. They're going to be a really good basketball league. What's been really interesting about it to me is that the football-centric schools are choosing not to go. I mean, look, Colorado State and Fresno State are football schools, but like seeing UNLV stay is interesting. Seeing, according to reports, Memphis and Tulane rebuff them is interesting because they're making football decisions. Boise's the one that surprised me, honestly, and they've got a pretty good basketball program. But Boise going, I thought, would be the catalyst to all the schools that cared about football going. Because if you took them all, right, you'd have a league that would surpass the American now at this point. I don't know that they're there yet. I think Memphis and Tulane and the other thing about Memphis and Tulane is that's probably more about, okay, great, can you go get a new football deal that beats the one we've got? What's the reality of that happening? Probably not very high. You know, I think the networks are in the business of shooting big with the bigger. I don't think there's an appetite. The basketball thing is a fact. And the reason I love it is because if you're a Big 12 fan, that's now two leagues that are telling you they think there's value in basketball in these TV deals. And I think that's good. I think that's good for the Big 12. Even though they didn't get Gonzaga, which would have been awesome, I don't mind that Gonzaga is going to the Pac-12. I don't mind there being another good basketball league like that. I think it's okay. And I don't want to see the Pac-12 die either. So if this is their lifeblood, then so be it. That's fine. But that news is out there. Pac-12 looks like it's going to gain Gonzaga, not the Big 12. I suspect that there wasn't a huge appetite for Gonzaga amongst the Big 12 member schools, and that's why that probably hasn't been done. Just like UConn, there wasn't much of an appetite there. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Dan Israel joins us. What does he think about this wide receiver situation? What does he know about Rashee Rice? We'll ask him both of those things. We'll look ahead to the game this weekend against the Saints. It's all coming for you. Hour number two of Sports Daily starts with a little Chiefs talk right after this.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.